So bad. I feel like a lot of people don't check their emails as frequently as youngsters like me with our
Actually,
smartphones.
I'm impressed you figured that out.
You're best I figured that out, everyone. So,
I have the job for
alas,
you.
alas, many people probably were trying to log in 15 minutes ago and then gave up 15 minutes later. But I appreciate everyone who either checks their emails or really stuck it out with B'munah Shleima V'yas HaMashiach for the shiur to start. So.
I was getting ready to telephone you and find out if perhaps you changed the night.
No, you just have to push off for a few minutes because of a Shiva Minyanet went a little bit over time. Next week, though, thank you, Henry. Next week is changed. Baruch Hashem, Marissa and I have a wedding to go to with a close friend. And so should be Wednesday night. Though I have to give everyone a heads up. There may be, you know, a cancellation that's a last minute move around at some point because thank God Marissa and I are expecting at the end of the month. So thank you, which means, you know, my goal is to at least, you know, even if I cancel my other class, I don't want to cancel the Gemara. I'll try my best to keep the Gemara going. It might be a different time, but I'm just putting on everyone's radar. So I appreciate everyone's flexibility and accommodating my movable schedule. Okay, so
don't forget to let your mother know if something happens.
Yes, I'll certainly let her know. Maybe after baby's born, so she doesn't get too concerned. Okay. Okay, so we are a Makos Yud Gimel Amud Aleph on the bottom. We're actually going to start. Technically, we're up to 13b. Welcome, Gloria. But we're going to start on the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Because we had a three-way Machlokas last time. We had a three-way Machlokas as to what happens when I have death penalty. Can I get lashes with the death penalty? And let's say I'm getting kares, divine excision. Do I get malchus with that as well? So it was part of a three-way machlokas. So we're starting again at the bottom of 13a, the second to last line where the Gemara begins, the bottom of Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Chai v'krisis kotani, chai v'mitzos based in lo kotani. So if you look in the Mishnah only described cases where someone incurs kares, and then the Mishnah came along to tell us that you get malchus in addition to kares. You get a double whammy. But from the fact that the Mishnah omitted the punishment of mitzvah basin, of capital punishment, along with malchus, shows that you only get malchus in addition to kares, but you don't get malchus in addition to the death penalty. Now, why would that be the case? Well, that is the subject of today's shiur. Okay. But first of all, who's the author or who's the opinion that our Mishnah goes according to? Money. Masisa Money. Rabbi Akiva hi d'tanya. Echachai v'krisis v'echachai v'misis beistin. Turning the page. Yeshon b'chlam malchus arbaim divi Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says, "What doesn't matter what penalty you're getting, it'd be a death penalty, a kares penalty, you get malchus along with it. We're very generous people. We always throw in, you know, buy one, get one free. You get a malchus free along with any other death with a death penalty or kares." Whereas Rabbi Akiva, who is the intermediate opinion, who also is the author of our Mishnah, we would say, Rabbi Akiva Omer Chai v'krisus yeshem v'chlal malchus arbayim sheim asur tshuva based in shamal mochlin lahen. So when it comes to kares, you see, kares is something that's forgivable. If I incur Mises kares, then if I decide to do tshuva at some point, I repent to God. God could say, you know what? You've repented. You've done tshuva. Okay, you're not going to get Mises kares. And since Mises kares is something that is nitein lemechila, it's something that is forgivable, I'm not necessarily going to get kares. Therefore, I get malchus when I commit a sin that would give me kares. Whereas,
I'm really lost. I don't know where we are.
Oh, we're on the top of 13B. You give a little on the base. You have the art source. You want to point out to her where it is?
13B. Okay.
Yeah, top of 13B one.
Yeah.
Oh, good. We're just a few lines from the top, and I guess translate that into art scroll.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chai V'mis, whereas Chai V'mis is based in Ein B'chlal Malchus Arbayim Shemasu Tshuva Ein based in Shalmata Mochin Lahen. Whereas, you know, it seems pretty reasonable that if I deserve capital punishment, Beis Din has to give that to me whether they want to or not. Beeston can't, you know, Beeston are human beings. They have finite understanding and insight. So they can't start making these cheshbonos and asking, well, you know what? This guy's really remorseful. He confessed. He clapped al chayt 1,001 times. You know what? We're going to let it slide. We're not going to give him count. Beeston can't make those accountings. Rather, God could do it. So when it's death by heaven, when it's kares, then you're not for sure going to get it because God could decide to forgive you. Whereas something that's in the hands of the court, you're getting no matter what. And therefore, you do not get malchus in addition to capital punishment because, as the Gemara will explain, we have a principle. Actually, we learned about this in the first chapter. Remember? What was it called? Anyone remember? Kinley with Ryan, as Henry says, and in the words of the Gemara, Kidei Rishasso, as we'll point out, which is basically it's the same idea, that you only get one punishment from the court, not two punishments. Okay, so that's why Rabbi Akiva says you get kares and malchus, but not capital punishment and malchus, not mises based in malchus. And then finally, the third opinion, just file this away in the back of your head. We're not talking about it tonight, but we should know the whole breadth of the machlokas. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer Chayvei Krisus Bechlal Hayu Ulama Yatzus Kares Bachoso Laduna Bekares Velo Bemalkus. So when it comes to the punishment of Kares, what we learn is there's an additional singling out of someone who commits incest with his sister that he gets Kares there. Why did the Torah need to tell me an additional time that you get Kares for committing the sexual sin? To teach us not just over there that you get kares, but it's to teach you everywhere that you get kares to the exclusion of malchus. So we basically use that as a binyan av. We extrapolate from there to all the different kinds of sins that would incur kares that you do not get malchus along with kares. Because why did the Torah emphasize kares? To tell us only kares and not malchus. So that's the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak. Okay, that's what we learned last time. But that review is important because our Gemara today is going to be delving into the rationales behind Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And you can already imagine the kind of questions we're going to ask. So Henry pointed out, Kim Levit to Rabbi Mine, you only get one punishment, not two. Well, Rabbi Shmuel is going to have to contend with that. Everyone, you know, Kim Levit to Rabbi Mine, as far as I know, that's a universally accepted principle in halacha. The details we could talk about. So the question is, Rabbi Shmuel, how's Rabbi Shmuel rejecting this age-old accepted principle of Kim Levit Ramine by giving you both the death penalty and giving you malchus? So we're going to have to contend with questions like that. But you know what? Why should I tell it to you outside? Let's go right inside now. So the first part of the Gemara is going to go in order, and we're going to break down Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. My time at Rabbi Shmuel. What is Rabbi Shmuel's rationale? That you should get malchus even in addition to mises beisdin, even in addition to capital punishment. After all, you only get one punishment, not two. So Rabbi Shmuel says as follows. It says in the verse, Dichsiv, in lo sishmor lasos is called Devei Torah zos, if you fail to abide, to perform the work of this, the laws of this Torah, uchsiv, V'hifla Hashem es makosecha. The next verse it says that Hashem will be hifle your plagues. So what's hifle mean? So hifle zo eini yodea mahi. I don't exactly know what this word of hafla of hifle means. So kisho omer, but when it says in the verse v'apilu hashofin v'hi kahu lefanav, when it says in the verse that the judge or the whoever's administering the malchus, the lashes, will strike him. It also uses a lashon of vevilu. It uses the lashon of hafla as well. So havi omer hafla zo malchusi, that the hafla that we were talking about earlier refers to lashes. Now, why is that important? Well, because it's said in the context of, right after the verse, uksiv, in lo sishmor lasos is called divrei haTorah hazos. So let's plug in the pieces. It says I get malchus. When do I get malchus? If I fail to abide by all the dictates of the Torah. So far it sounds like it doesn't matter which sin I violate in the Torah. It can be a standard law. It could be something that incurs kares. It could be something that incurs even the death penalty. But I will get malchus for violating any isser, any prohibition in the Torah. And that is the rationale for Rabbi Shmuel saying that you always get malchus in addition even to capital punishment. But here's the thing. You know, we've been learning malchus for a while. I'm sure we've come by a number of sins one could commit that doesn't incur malchus. For instance, again, this is really, you know, I almost feel like the second parak, you know, we're talking about gullus, we're like on, you know, we had a little bit of a hiatus. We're really going to be bringing a lot of things that we learned in the first chapter, the first parak. A lot of them are going to make a resurgence right now. So some of this will be familiar. You know, so anytime I fail, you know, let's say I don't listen to Parsha Zachor, right? I forget to, you know, a whole year goes by, I don't listen to Parsha Zachor, and I don't remember how Amalek, we're supposed to erase the memory of Amalek. So do I get lashes for that? Imagine that, right? Imagine, you know, imagine Rabbi Konerai or Chris, imagine Chris had an attendance sheet, and he was logging in everyone who came for Parsha Zachor, and then he goes, oh, you know, Mr. Gordon over there, I see that you failed to come in for Parsha Zachor an entire year. So, okay, let's take out the lashes. We're going to give you I mean, first of all, we don't do lashes nowadays. We talked about that already. But second of all, even during the times of the temple, they weren't doing that. You know, it'd be a funny thing taking attendance for who comes to Minyan. That's actually, I mean, they do that at schools. For yeshiva day schools, they do that. And when I was in YU, actually, there's a few programs. There's the YP program, which is the regular base measure program, BMP, which is like a little bit of a lighter on your schedule base measure program. And there's a program called Mechina program for beginners. And there's IBC, which is, you know, it's a subject of debate exactly who it's supposed to be catering to. But instead of classic base measures, you're taking like Jewish college courses. And it gets a lot of people who don't want to do classic base measures. So, I think it's IBC. They have a 9 o'clock minyan in the morning. So when I commuted in from YU, from Queens to YU, got all that traffic, sometimes I would go to the 9 o'clock minyan, and I saw all these college kids coming in, and they were signing up in the front of the room. I'm like, what are you signing up for? We're signing for attendance. I'm like, why do you sign for attendance? You're in college. You're a big boy now. They said, we get course credit. We get credit for signing up on the attendance sheet when we come to Shacharis. These aren't like a bunch of middle schoolers. These are college students. So, but apparently, I mean, you can't argue. It worked. These kids wouldn't be coming to Minyan otherwise. But, okay, you know, I have my opinions about how degrading it might be, but that's what we're dealing with. Okay, for another shear. But why did I bring it up? Oh, because, you know, we're not keeping attendance about who's showing up for Minyan for Parsha Zachor and then giving you malchus as a result. So the question is, we should be giving you malchus for any sin that you commit, not just a sin that you commit, but a mitzvah that you fail to perform, even a positive mitzvah that you squander. So it says in the verse, in lo sishmor ksiv, it says, if you're not shamor, you know, in Shabbos, we say shamor v'zachor. Zachor is commemorating the positive mitzvahs of Shabbos. We talked about in the mornings, right, at the 6:30 minyan, right? We talked about Kiddush and how that's a fulfillment of Zachor. And Shamor is safeguarding, which is abstaining from committing sin. Whenever it says in the Torah, the words either Hishamer, Pen, Ve'al, those negative words mean Eino El Lo Saseh. Any commandment that is prefaced or has those words in there refers to a negative commandment. So when does it say that I'm going to get malchus? Imlo sishmor, if not shomer. Shomer refers to not violating the negative mitzvahs. But I don't get malchus for failing to perform a positive mitzvah. But also, Kohen Rabbi Shmuel's very liberal approach to giving malchus out to anybody. You know, apparently, like, I never actually saw this episode because I don't watch a show called Oprah, but there's a famous meme out there where she's like, you get a car, everyone gets a car, right? It's like, you get a malchus, everyone gets a malchus, right? That's like Rabbi Shmuel's approach here. But even Rabbi Shmuel, there has to be limitations. So, ihachi, lav shembo maisanami, right? Oh, we learned this in the first chapter. You also don't get malchus for a lav shembo maisa. And love that, so this was actually, we're talking about Enim Zoman. Remember our good friends, Enim Zoman? This is on Beis HaMibeis. This is really a throwback right now. So we said, wait a minute, why can't we learn the violation? Why can't we learn that Im Zoma get Malkus from Losana Vreyach Eid Shaker, from the good old ninth commandment right up there on the Luchos, on the top of the Aron? So we said, because in general, you don't get Malkus for a Lav Shein Bo Maisa, for a sin that has no action associated with it. Right? So we talked about this. This is our second week having Shir, by the way. So that's a real throwback. But again, the things that we learned a while back, they come back and it's good. It's good chazara. So the question is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, shouldn't I be getting Malkus even if there's no action, no deed associated? But still, the verse is not as all-encapsulating as I would think. Lassos ksiv, because it says that which you perform, osa, that you do. So you have to do something active to get Malkus. And finally, lashiniti glasei nami, also something we learned about previously. Something called lashiniti glasei. Lashiniti glasei is a sin that could be, for lack of a better term, rectified by performing a positive mitzvah afterwards. So, you know, if I leave food over, we talked about nosar recently. Good. Yes. So what Henry points out is there's a prohibition of stealing, and then there's a mitzvah, the heshivus exil, you shall return that which was stolen. So there's a perm spiel online called the Avera song, where it's hilarious, and then they next year these yeshiva students made a song called the Chumra song, where they come up with all these like really funny and absurd chumras. So there's one line in the song where the guy says, you know, I stole a ring from my tanta Baila just so I can be Makayim Bahaishivis Exila, which in English that means I stole a ring from my aunt Bela just so I can fulfill the mitzvah of returning a stolen object. So you can't do it from the outset. You know, you don't plan it like that. So the question is, so the rule is you don't get Malkus for something that can be rectified by doing a positive mitzvah afterwards. Well, where do I see that in the verse? So the answer is, this is a very important principle to remember. If we want to walk away from tonight remembering this. Dumya delav dechasima. It has to be similar to the prohibition of muzzling an animal. We have a general principle, it's learned out through hermeneutics, that we have a paradigm for what kind of sins incur Malkus. And we actually talked about this in our Chumash class, I think when I first came on, one of our first few weeks. We talked about how lo saxum shor bedisho, that you're not supposed to muzzle, you're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working the field. You know, when you think about it, it'd be really cruel. So, you know, earlier this afternoon, Rabbi Block asked me, they were having a goodbye party and they had an ice cream truck in his yard. It was actually open to the whole community. He put it on the WhatsApp group. So if you missed it, I apologize. So he asked me to come over and just give the official rabbi okay that everything in there is kosher. So, you know, and then I got to have ice cream afterwards. It would be very cruel if I went there, I checked the ice cream truck, and I wasn't allowed to walk away with a milkshake afterwards. So that's the ideal of Satsun Shor Bedisho. And so what it's saying here is that you get Malkus for muzzling your animal. So anything else in the Torah that incurs Malkus has to be similar, has to be analogous in principle to the prohibition of muzzling an animal while it's working the field. And that kind of sin cannot be rectified by a positive mitzvah. There's no positive mitzvah to rectify it. And therefore, a sin that could be rectified with a positive mitzvah is not subject to Malkus.
And can't you rectify it by taking the muzzle off the animal while it's working?
So it wouldn't be a rectification. You would just be stopping the damage from going further. You know, if, you have pollution going into a river and then you cut the line of pollution, that's not solving the fact that you have all that pollution and it's still in the river. You're just not letting it get any worse and devolving. So that's what happens when you take it off. There's no positive mitzvah that, it doesn't say in the Torah, and once you put it on, you should take the muzzle off, as far as I know. Henry, you are a laner. Do you remember such a pasuk? Okay. So wait, let me just finish.
The idea is that we're returning this whole object, basically saying that you're setting the situation back to what it was originally.
Ah, interesting. Interesting.
You
that's.
You have to think back, it's almost like you never took it. Whereas with the ox, you took it off, but from that time period,
The damage is already done. Interesting. I wonder if you could apply it. So what Henry's suggesting for those on a computer is that for an animal, when you take the muzzle off, you're not solving anything. But when you steal a lost object, when you steal something from somebody, you return it, you're returning things to the way they were before. So essentially almost no harm, no foul. But what I wonder is, can you apply it to all the other lashaniti classes, such as the nosar? You have to burn nosar. Is that really called returning it back? But it's an interesting svara. We'd have to see if that works. But the Gemara says, we're literally like a few lines away from finishing this section. It's going to finish. I'll take questions. And now, by the way, once we gave this answer, once we reached this conclusion, really saying that in order to get Malkus, your sin needs to be analogous to Losaxim Shorbedisha, muzzling an animal, actually answers all of our earlier questions as well. The question of how do I know that only negative, that only violating sins gets me Malkus? Losaxim Shorbedisha is a violation of a sin, not abstaining from performing a mitzvah. Also, our question of, what was the other one? Lashim Bomaisa, putting a muzzle on is an action. So therefore, only actions that are sinful get me Malkus. So now that we have this principle of Dumia Delav de Chasima, that answers all the questions beforehand. And basically, that's all to get to the point of saying that as long as something is Dumia Delav de Chasima, it's similar to that sin, even if it incurs a death penalty, I still get Malkus according to Rabbi Yishmael. Okay, let me pause for some clarification questions.
The reason you put them, you're not supposed to put a muzzle on your ox when it's working, is because it wants to eat. Mm-hmm. And so while it's in the field, or if it's working your grindstone for you, and it's got food before it, it's going to eat while it's working. When you take the muzzle off, now it can eat and now it can fill its stomach.
Certainly. But for the amount of, I would say for the amount of time that you're muzzling it, that ox was hangry the entire time. So it's, you're helping him moving forward, but that poor ox had to suffer for the past few hours, having like a tainus chalom for no chalom that it never had. So that's what I would say to that.
He'll gore you afterwards for punishment.
Yeah, he'll gore you out. Well, that's above a comma. So maybe, yeah. Maybe we'll, I'm not sure if we'll do that next, but it's, I guess at some point we'll get through Shas, hopefully. Okay. Any other clarification questions, things that we could clarify at this point? Okay. Hopefully now we understand Rabbi Yishmael's approach, but what about Rabbi Akiva? You see, Rabbi Akiva had this nuanced approach of saying, well, if you get the capital punishment, you're not going to get Malkus, but if you get Kares, you'll get Malkus as well, because Kares is something that God might forgive later on. So let's try to understand Rabbi Akiva. And this gets to the point that Henry mentioned at the beginning of the shiur. Rabbi Akiva, my time. Why does Rabbi Akiva say you can't get the death penalty and Malkus? Kidei Rishaso, it says in the verse, you should be punished according to his wickedness. What's that mean? Mishum Risha achasata mechaivo viata mechaivo mishum shtei rishuyos. You only get punished for one wickedness, but you don't get hit with punishment for two wickedness. So if you do one deed that has two evil consequences, you only receive one punishment from the court as a result. So that therefore, Rabbi Akiva says, if you're already getting capital punishment, we're not allowed to hit you with Malkus as well. So Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel going to answer to this? Because Rabbi Shmuel now has to contend with Kedei Rishaso. What gives? Why is Rabbi Shmuel then giving me capital punishment and giving me Malkus? So look at this svar. We mentioned this last time. Hani Mili, where do we say Kedei Rishaso? You only get one, but not two. Miso Mama, when you're getting death penalty and paying. O Malkusma, where you're getting lashes and giving restitution. Avo Miso Malkus, but there's something unique about the combination Dafka of the death penalty and of Malkus. Why? Rabbi Shmuel says, Misa Arichtahi. It's not two separate punishments, but it's one extended punishment. We start weakening you with Malkus, and then we finish the job by ending your life, by giving you capital punishment. So Rabbi Shmuel is saying is, we don't have to view this as two distinct punishments, like restitution and lashes, right? You know, restitution, lashes, they're two distinct punishments. Very clear. Giving a few hundred dollar bills and me getting lashes, they're not the same thing. But Reichenwald says one could view receiving lashes and receiving death penalty as a misa arichta, as one extended death penalty. And that's Rabbi Shmuel Svara. That's why he says you get death penalty and malchus. It's not an issue of kimle b'tarami. It's not an issue of getting two punishments, because really we view it as one singular punishment from the base then. Okay. Well, Rabbi Akiva, ihachi chayvei krisus nami. So, okay, fine. We're satisfied with that. But now we're going to pick on Rabbi Akiva again. So Rabbi Akiva, we understand, you know, that you don't buy Rabbi Shmuel's Misa Richta idea, the extended death penalty. And we understand why you get the death penalty, but no Malchus. But by that very same token, you also should only be getting Kares and not getting Malchus in addition to Kares. After all, you only get one punishment. Can David show so? So Rabbi Akiva, Yehoki, Chayvei Krisus Nami. My Amrit Shem Asud Shuva Hashta Miat Lo Avdi. And Rabbi Akiva, you're going to say, oh, well, maybe, you know, he's going to do tshuva and God will forgive him and won't give him kares, so therefore we give him malchus. I don't care. As of this moment, it look, as far as we know, he has, you know, he has not done tshuva. Right now he has a chazaka. He's established as someone who is getting kares, and we have no reason to assume he's not getting kares until a bas kol comes out of heaven and declares that this man is not getting kares. Even if it does, I don't know if we can listen to it either. That's a whole separate discussion. So the question is, you're getting kares as far as we know. So why are we not absolving you from malchus? So we're going to have three approaches in the Gemara to understand Rabbi Akiva. We're going to give two answers right now in short order. Then the Gemara is going to give a parenthetical, and then at the end of the shiur, we'll have our third answer. So let's go forward. Answer number one. Amar Rabbi Akiva, you're right. Really, in principle, you should only be getting kares and not getting malchus. However, conveniently, the feirush rips the Torah chayvei krisus lamalchus. Degamar leinei milei necha. It happens to be that we have a gezeirah shava between the word li'enei and the word li'enecha. And since those words are essentially the same, they're talking about toward the eyes. So we learn from the word li'enecha, which is in the context of malchus, and we derive to the context of li'enei, which is discussing kares, that you get malchus and kares at the same time. We're going to get a little bit into technical hermeneutics over here, okay? But try to follow along if possible, but the essential principle that we should be getting out of here is that, yes, really, one should only be getting kares or malchus, but we have a special teaching, a special drasha, a gezeirah shava, that connects malchus and kares and says an exception to the rule. So the baseline is really you don't get two things. But here, when it comes to kares and malchus, you do. I maskifla ravabah bar mamel. Ihochni chayvei misas based in nami nigurim me'eni mleinecha. Ah, well, once you're playing that game, also the word me'ene is mentioned in the context of capital punishment. So why do I derive from li'enecha in the context of malchus that I also get malchus in addition to death penalty? So why by one do we make this exclusive drasha and not by the other? Okay, so here's a technical distinction. Dunin leine mitle einecha, being dunin meine mile einecha. We can make a gezeirah shava between the words lit eine and lit einecha. After all, they share the same prefix. They both have lamets at the beginning. The ain dunin mitene mile einecha, but we're not going to create a gezeirah shava between malchus and capital punishment, between this based in, because they don't share the same prefix and suffix. The mem in front of milei necha is not actually part of the word. It's a prefix the Gemara added on. So we have the word ene and lit enecha. They don't share the first letter or the last letter. There's too much of a difference between them for us to make a gezeir shava. Therefore, we only add malchus to kares, but we don't have a good enough of a drasha to add malchus onto misas based in, onto the death penalty. And then the Gemara says, I don't know if I buy this distinction. You know, we're splitting hairs here. Umay nafkamine, two objections. Number one, fatana devei Yishmael, v'shava koin u'baha koin. We're not going to get so much into it. It's a gezeir shava in the context of Saras and Abayis Hamanuga on a house that gets afflicted with Saras. So you know, people have issues with termites, with flooding. Who knows what happened with your house back then? In addition to that, in theory, they had to worry about their house getting Saras. Parenthetical, the Gemara Sanhedrin says it's one of those things that actually never happened, along with the Bensor Mora. It's in that parak. So that's objection number one. You know, Ubakoi, Ashava Koin Ubaha Koin, Zohi Shiva, Zohi Bia. Not only do we make a Gezer Shava between words that don't share the same prefix or suffix, we're making a Gezer Shava between two completely different words. One's talking about returning, one's talking about coming and going. So if we're able to make a Gezer Shava between two separate words, you're telling me I can't make a Gezer Shava between two words that have the same root? So that's objection number one. Objection number two, v'od ligmor meinei mile'enei, da'gamor le'enei mile'enecha. Ah, here's a suggestion. Why don't we learn meinei from le'enei? Why don't we learn the same way kares could get malchus, so too the capital punishment could also get malchus. After all, we already learned le'enei mile'enecha. So here's the idea. This is what the Gemara is suggesting. It makes sense. First, let's learn Malchus to Kares, that Kares gets Malchus. Then let's create a Gezer Shava from Kares to the capital punishment and extrapolate the laws of Kares to the laws of capital punishment. What do you know? We just learned that Kares gets Malchus also. So now we can make Gezer Shava from Me'ene, from Li'ene. They share the same suffix. So I can learn from Kares that gets Malchus to death penalty, to Mises Basin against Malchus. So these are some pretty good objections. As a result, we have a second approach to understand Rabbi Akiva's reasoning for why Kares gets Malchus as an exception to the rule of Kimle B'Derav Mine. Answer, approach number two to explain Rabbi Akiva. Kibla Mini Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yitzhak, when do we apply the principle of Kidei Rishasa that you only get one and not two? Barisha Amasur Le based in Hakasa Medaber. We have to understand that when the verse says Kidei Rishasa, that we limit you to one punishment per participant, that commandment is being given to the based in, to the court. This is a judicial limitation. Kares is not a judicial punishment. Therefore, kares is not subject to the limitation of kimle b'deravamine, of kidei rishaso. Mises basin, capital punishment, is subject to kidei rishaso because kidei rishaso is a judicial principle. That basin's only allowed to mete out one punishment. But when kares is being meted out by God, and Bais is not doing anything, what do you know? Bais isn't allowed to give you Malchus because they're not doing anything as far as Kares is concerned. Okay, that's a good approach. So let me pause very briefly. Any just purely clarification questions at this point? I know the Drusha part was a little bit dizzying, a little technical. But again, I'll summarize at the end all the different approaches, but that's where we are. Okay. Well,
so unlike the first explanation of Rabbi Akiva, which was rejected, mm-hmm. the second one, it's not rejected, it's just that we're going to have yet another.
Right. So Henry makes a good point. The first answer we gave seemingly is rejected, or at least there are two objections that we failed to resolve, which leads us to assume it's rejected. The first one saying that we're going to make a Gezer Shava, a drusha that teaches us that Kares is unique.
Right.
It seems that, you know, there are two good objections that we failed to resolve. So it seems to be the case. Okay. The second suggestion that Henry rightly points out is not rejected by the Gemara. Rather, we keep it. And the idea is that a punishment that's given over for Beis Din to mete out, that is limited in scope. You can only give one punishment, not two. But Kares, which is given to God to mete out, so that's not going to impose a limitation on the Beis Din. The Beis Din can still give out Malchus because they haven't filled their one punishment slot yet. They have one slot, and they haven't filled it with Kares because that's up to God. Okay. This is going to be a little bit of a parenthetical. that's going to throw it, might throw us off just a little bit. Rava is going to suggest that actually we misunderstood the scope of the machlokis of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And, you know, instead of saying it outside, I'll just jump right into it. Rava Amar, we're in the first wide line at the end. Rava Amar, Asur Bei Lekatla, Kuliyama Lo Pligi. Remember, in order for someone to get Mises based and to get capital punishment, what did we learn back in the first parak? What do you need to do? What's something important the witnesses have to do? Very good. We have to warn them. We have to give hasra. So everyone agrees that if you, warn someone that they're going to get Mises based in, they're going to get Mises based in. So Amar Asur Bei Lekatla Klima Lo Pli De'in Loka B'meis. You don't get Malkus, you don't get Mises based in at the same time. Rather, you only get Mises based in. Even Rabbi Shmuel would concede you only get capital punishment, you don't get Malkus. Okay then, so what is their argument? Their argument is a little bit more limited in scope. It's a unique case. Ki pligi, to also be the Malkus. Let's say the witnesses, they botched up, right? They didn't come to the Makoshir, and they thought that this guy committing a Bimachal Shabbos, this guy chopping wood on Shabbos, was supposed to only get Malkus. They say, by the way, you chop wood on Shabbos, you're going to get lashes. Meanwhile, they didn't realize, they didn't read the parsha of the Makoshish Eitzim, that somebody who chops wood on Shabbos gets actual capital punishment. So the question is, if I warn you not to do something, I tell you it's Usser, but I give you only a different punishment, I tell you you're going to get Malkus, you're not going to get Mises based in, do you still get Mises based in, do you still get Malkus, even if you're not getting Mises based in? So Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Lav Shanit Yilazar's Mises based in, Lokin Alav. Rabbi Shmuel says, okay, look, you botched up on it, but at the end of the day, the same Ashara, remember, that's another word we learned a while ago, Ashara, the same verse that warns me and tells me, do not commit, do not be Mechal Shabbos, do not chop wood on Shabbos. It's true, I also get Mises Basin. Ideally, I should be getting capital punishment for that. But also, as a corollary, if I don't get that, in theory, I could get Malkus as well. Whereas Rabbi Akiva Savar Lashi Tilatar Mises Basin in Lokan Lev. Rabbi Akiva says, we only have one Ashara slot. The Ashara in the Torah against being Mechal Shabbos, against violating Shabbos, is death penalty. Anything short of death penalty means you don't get anything else. So the Asara only fills one slot. The Asara is to warn us that we're getting capital punishment. If you warn the guy that he's getting Malkus, I'm sorry, we can't give him Malkus because there's no Asara in the Torah to give you Malkus for violating Shabbos. So Rabbi Akiva, now based on this, we can ask, Rabbi Akiva, Ihok, Ichaivik, Jesus, Nami, Lashin, Tanatars, Karisu. Ah, wait a minute. But according to Rabbi Akiva, we should say that when it comes to Kares, you shouldn't get Malkus as well. Because any Isser, any sin in the Torah that specifies Kares, the Azhara, the warning in the Torah, is exclusively Kares. I don't have an Azhara to teach me also that I get Malkus. So why does Rabbi Akiva say, excuse me, that I can get Malkus and Kares if I only have one Azhara slot? I don't have two slots, only one slot. So shouldn't Rabbi Akiva say the same thing and be consistent? That same way I can't get Malkus instead of Mises Basin, I can't get Malkus and Karis. So I'm really Rav Mordechai the Rav Ashi, Hachi Yamar Avim Me'agrunia Mishmeid the Rava, Chai Ve'krisis Lot Tzrichi, it says Hasra, but the Rashash and others change the gears, so it makes more sense, I think, to Ashara. So Chai Ve'krisis do not require Ashara in general. You do not need an Asar in the Torah to tell me that I'm getting Kares. How do I know that? Sharei Pesach Umila Anash Af Mishlo Hisir. Because if I, violate, if I don't eat the Karban Pesach, if I do not have a Bris Mila, I fail to perform Bris Mila, then I get punished, I get Kares, even though there is no Azhara. So it would seem that that's the question over here. The question over here is that it would seem that Chai V'Krisus do not require an Ashara. So therefore Pesach and Mila seem to be an issue. So Vadilma Ashara la Karban. So maybe the Ashara, though, actually is reserved for Karbanos. the Pesach umila delesbuhu ashara lo maisi korban. How do we know that? How do we know that an ashara has nothing to do whether you get malchus or you get a death penalty, that it has to do maybe with a korban? Well, haraya, you have, get violation. Is a violation if you fail to eat the korban Pesach. If you fail to have a bris mila, and you do not bring a korban. Why? Because they don't have asharos. Maybe asharos don't tell me that I get malchus. Asharos just tell me that when I bring a korban for violating or not keeping a certain mitzvah. So the Gemara responds, Hosam lav hainu taima. No, that's a red herring. Hosam lav hainu taima. Amishum de iskish kol haTorah kula avodos kachavim. There is a hekesh. There is a connection in the verses from the sin of idolatry to all other sins in the Torah. Ma avodos kachavim sheval taseh. Just as, what does Hashem want us to do when it comes to the prohibition of avodah zarah? What Hashem wants for us to do is simply sheval taseh. Remain passive, abstain, refrain from performing avodah zarah, from performing idolatry. Av kol sheval taseh, so too when it comes to all sheval taseh, that's when you bring a korban. If you accidentally violate something, actively you bring a korban. Lafuki hani dekumase. Whereas, why do you not bring a korban for failing to bring a korban Pesach and for failing to do a bris mila? Because those are active mitzvos. So therefore, that's all that gets to the point that asara has nothing to do with a korban, but rather what asara has to do with is, and I don't need asara either for kares either, but rather what's an asara for a sin that gives me kares left open for? It's left available to tell me that I get malchus as well. So therefore, the conclusion according to Rava is, the Rabbi Akiva says, that I can get malchus and kares because the ashara is not necessary to tell me that I get kares. That's between me and God. But the ashara to tell me that Beis Din will give me malchus is still available. Whereas capital punishment, Mises Beis Din, I need the ashara to tell me that Beis Din can give me capital punishment. It's no longer available to give me malchus. That's the distinction that Rabbi Akiva makes. That was all parenthetical. That's Rava's aberration. Rava's unique approach to understanding Machlokas. We now return to our usual, actually right before we return to our usual program, I want to share one Ha'ara. There is a beautiful sugya in Maseches Kiddushin, which asks the question about, is the mitzvah of bris mila, I guess I'm at a bris tomorrow and they might make me speak, who knows, so I have to have something prepared, right? So why not a little piece of lumpus? Imagine you get hocking in the sugya for a bris or Irwin would disapprove, I know. So, they got your bris tomorrow, right? So we'll see if you force me to do this. So if Irwin makes me speak tomorrow, this is what I'm saying. So you can decide based on what I say now if you want me to share this. Mazel tov, by the way. I actually am being assigned to the 830 Minyan, so I will see you there, hopefully. I'm being assigned to the 830 Minyan tomorrow. So okay, you're going 6:30 anyway. Yeah, you're going to come back. Okay, so the sugya goes as follows. This is in the Achronim. Is it a Maisa or Totsa? We talked about this for those who were with us for Shalashuddas being the Chamar. There's a general Chakira, when I do a mitzvah, do we care about the action of the mitzvah or do we care about the result of the mitzvah? So the question is, for a bris mila, the classic Chakira is it a mitzvah for me to circumcise myself or circumcise my child? Or is it a mitzvah to be circumcised? So this question comes to a head. There's a really great raya for this that, you know, it's a nice raya from a medrash. That David HaMelech was in the mikveh one time. And so David HaMelech, he despaired. He looked around, he's like, oh, I don't have my tzitzis on, I don't have anything. I'm not performing any mitzvos. So he looks down to his makom hamila, and he says, oh, you know what? He was consoled. I'm still performing the mitzvah of mila. So some say, we see from here, that the mitzvah of mila is not just about one-time action, but it's about the result of being mahul. It's about the result of having a bris mila all the time. And David HaMelech was consoled that I'm always performing the mitzvah of bris mila every single second. So I was thinking, right, mila brings you to Klal Yisrael. Very good. So I was thinking, by the way, when I was reading through the Gemara over here, it said lafuki hani de kumase, that we said to the exclusion of these mitzvos of Pesach and mila, which are active mitzvos. this Gemara here implies that the mitzvah of a bris is not just a totsah of being circumcised, but the mitzvah of a bris is to actively circumcise. So that was my ha'ara on this. I didn't see anyone say that. I'm sure someone else read this Gemara and had the same ha'ara as me, but I'm sharing with you. You can let me know if you see it in the Mefarshim somewhere. Okay, now we have five. All right, so this is the var tomorrow. If you force me to speak, I will share that. So that's my threat. Okay, good. I don't like. Oh, okay. I mean, I have a book that has like all the good like life cycle parts that you can share. I bought one of those. I needed them because otherwise I'd be sharing this stuff. Okay, but anyway, we have 5 minutes left, but only a few lines to do. So we will finish this on time, Bez Hashem. Here we go. Until now, we had two approaches to understand Rabbi Akiva's reasoning for why Kares is not subject to Kimle B'Dravine, and you get Kares and Malkus at the same time. You get two for the price of one. Ravina is going to give one more approach to understand Rabbi Akiva. We're all the way on the bottom, third to last word on the page. Ravina Amar, La'olam, Kidarmina Kara, it's like we suggested earlier. Shemasu Tshuva based in Shamala Mokhlehen, that if you do Tshuva, Hashem's going to forgive you and you won't get Kares. I my Amar Halo of a Tshuva, but remember our question was, Shkoyach, you didn't yet do Tshuva. So as far as we're concerned, you're getting Kares, so why are we giving you Malkus? So the answer is, Lopsika Milsa Lekares. The rules of Kimle Dravine only operate, and this is something we probably intuited actually, I think I may have accidentally said it already, they only operate when I'm for sure getting a punishment. If it's not a sure thing, it's not subject to limitation of Kimle B'Dravine. Since Kares, it's true. As of now, I am getting Kares. But if it's not a sure thing, it will not be subject to limitation of Kimle B'Dravine. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva says, I will get both Kares and Malkus. So again, just to summarize, why is Rabbi Kiva depart from the general principle of Kidei Rishas, Kimle B'Dravine? We gave three approaches. Number one, maybe just a Gezeirah Shava. Okay, a drasha, that's what we work with. We had two objections to that Gezeirah Shava. All right, we didn't resolve that. But then we said maybe Kidei Rishaso is a mitzvah or a limitation for Beis Din. Kares is not a punishment that's within the purview of Beis Din. That's something that God does. So therefore, you get Malkus and Kares. And the final answer is Lopsika Milsa Lekares, that Kares is not a sure thing. It's not a sure thing. It's not subject to limitations, Kimle B'Dravine. And therefore, one can get Malkus and Kares. Do not despair. We could get both punishments in the end of the day. Baruch Hashem. And we'll conclude with that. Yashar Koach, everyone. All right. Shkoach to everyone on the Zoom. Have a wonderful evening. And thank you for working with the adjusted time. Good Shabbos.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.